A sample do you know? Alright, you want me know? Life is a journey. Every man have a different story. A job ride and a him a preserve.
I want to say enough respect to Madam Father Mayton. Go and pick up yourself every time.
All the fight with them a fight us, they just can't stop us, no. You see all them rags and with them a throw with them negative flow. Just can't stop us, no. Bad mind and grudgeful, that is their motive. Just war, just violence is what they promoted. I got life, I got wife, I got five kids, so we have to live my life positive. Well, I'm so blessed to be stressed when Jah guide and protect. With pure happiness, lyrics of consciousness. Fear is a weakness, they got a sickness. They are so desperate, they need cleanliness.
Do remember, after us right here, we're going to take over. Just want to show enough respect to each and everyone who call in. Or not even call in, who listen to us, because nobody get a call in, because we're on a different side, you know see. So we don't just go and pick up the item. Next week, we're going to be back on our spot, right? In our place, in our room, where we can feel more comfortable and can chit-chat to the item. Saying, after us is right here, we're going to take it up right until 5. Whatever time they go on, and you get a very good show to listen to. Anyways, because I always listen to them, you know. That's some positive note for each and every one of us. Not because a positive vibe come off the ear, on the tune in still and listen to this program. All right? Enough respect. Soon to see you next week. Same place, same time. Roger Mode, out of here.
Tech music worldwide, yeah, tech music globally. Love no have no love, they don't got no unity. All they talk about is just your money and them vanities. Main focus and just be sit on and study. We will not stop, beat them with roots and reality. Life is a journey. Every man have a different story. A Jah guide and a him a preserve. Me say life is a journey. Yard. You know, see, all the hype with them hype up, all the fight with them fight us, they just can't stop us, no. You know, see, all the words and what them a throw with them negative flow, just can't stop us, no. Bad mind and grudgeful, that is their motive. Just war, just violence is what they promoted. I got life, I got wife, I got five kids, so we have to live my life positive. Well, I'm so blessed to be stressed when Jah guide and protect. With pure happiness, lyrics of consciousness. Fear is a weakness, they got a sickness. They are so desperate, they need cleanliness. Fear filthiness coming off of their lips. Look how they hating, they fighting because of success. No one for civil rights, that among them eyes. Call out in your mind just to exist. Life is a journey. Every man have a different side of story. Guide me and him a preserve. Every man have a different
story. Don't support the war on crime. Innocent people are doing time. More and more cops, more and more jail. The British is trying to fight to fail. Don't you see what they're trying to do? They're not concerned with your safety. They want to control you. Congress passes more oppressive laws. Then they lock us away. Don't you perfect to poverty. Then they lock us away. Needy of the then lock us away. Your country will be under martial law.
CQT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on www.cqt.ca on the World Wide Web. News, interviews, and music featuring the voices of prisoners, their allies, and supporters. Tune in to the Prison Radio Show on the fourth Friday of every month between 11 a.m. and noon, or on the second Thursday of every month between 5 and 6 p.m. To get involved in Prison Radio or finding help searching for past programs, email prison@cqt.ca.
And you are listening to CQT 90.3 FM in Montreal. This is the Prison Radio Show. You are listening to us live. We are broadcasting from McGill University, and my name is Candace, and I'm your host for today's show. Today on the Prison Radio Show, we'll be hearing from Jeannette Pilote, a warrior woman, speaking about land defense and her incarceration for struggling to defend her people. We'll also be rebroadcasting a piece from Kingston's Prison Radio that is an interview with an herbalist named M, who talks about how folks inside can address common ailments using what's available in the canteen. But first, as usual, we'll start the show with some international, national, and local news. First of all, Democracy Now! Reports that imprisoned immigrant women continue a hunger strike at the for-profit Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. Organizers say some of the hunger strikers have faced threats of forced transfers or forced medical treatment from GEO Group, the company that operates the prison. Organizers also say the strike has spread across state lines to the Norcor Jail in Oregon, which contracts with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, known as ICE, to imprison immigrants, including some transferred from the Tacoma prison. In Washington, D.C., prosecutors have filed a slew of additional felony and misdemeanor charges against more than 200 people who were arrested at protests during U.S. President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. While most of the protesters were already charged with felony rioting. The new charges also include inciting or urging to riot, conspiracy to riot, and multiple counts of destruction of property. The legal support group Defend J20 Resistance says the new charges mean protesters are now facing up to 75 years in prison. According to the Free Brescia campaign, 15-year-old Brescia Meadows has been offered a plea deal at a pretrial hearing on May 8th at the Trumbull County Juvenile Court in Ohio. The plea deal has not been finalized, but it is said to include an additional 9 months of incarceration in a treatment facility on top of the 9 months that Brescia has spent in pretrial detention. The Free Brescia campaign has released a statement about the plea deal, pointing out that it is good that Brescia will have more access to family visits in the treatment facility, but also that being forced to be at a facility is neither treatment nor care. The campaign statement is critical of plea deals as they currently function in the United States, but also points to the powerful impact of mass action on this case. Anti-imperialist political prisoner John Lamon has been locked in solitary confinement at the end of March for issuing two political statements. One of the statements was about International Women's Day, and the other was about the passing of Lynn Stewart. Lamon was placed in the hole after receiving the New York City Anarchist Black Cross publication that included the statements he wrote. Supporters are being asked to call the warden and demand that Lamon be released. You can find information on how to do that at chrisblubbydeb.com. In CTV News, CTV News is reporting that prisoners in a provincial Saskatchewan prison have launched a labor strike after their daily wages were slashed. New Saskatchewan budget cuts have reduced previous working wages for provincial prisoners from $3 to $1 a day. Prisoners at the Regina Provincial Correctional Facility have refused to partake in their jobs after learning about the new wages that came into effect on May 1st. According to CTV News, more than 60 inmates are involved in the labor strike. Meanwhile, a private firm is making millions off of Saskatchewan jail calls. The Regina Leader Post is reporting that a Texas-based company has made nearly $9 million off of phone calls from Saskatchewan jails. In 2010, the government of Saskatchewan entered into a contract with a company called Synergy for a service known as Telmate. While on May 1st, the daily wage decreased from $3 a day to $1 a day, the cost of local calls in Saskatchewan jails increased to $2.50. So that means a day's work doesn't even get you a 20-minute phone call home to your family. In a letter from prisoners at the Regina Provincial Correctional Facility to local media, striking prisoners outline that they've been denied access to their strongest forms of positive support because of these government cuts. In upcoming events, on Monday, May 15th, the End Immigration Detention Network is going to federal court. The case is Brown versus Minister of Citizenship and Immigration. It is a constitutional challenge to Canada's immigration law, which allows indefinite immigration detention. Alvin Brown is a Jamaican citizen who spent almost 5 years in immigration detention. He lived in Canada from the age of 7 in 1983 until he was deported in September 2016. He is challenging the entire detention review system as being unconstitutional, in part because there is no limit to the length of detention. The End Immigration Detention Network is a party in his case and will be bringing forward evidence of many detainees who have experienced lengthy and indefinite detention. The End Immigration Detention Network will argue that indefinite immigration detention violates both international law and the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Supporters are invited to attend the Federal Court of Canada, 180 Queen Street West, Toronto, beginning at 9:30 a.m. The End Immigration Detention Network has been campaigning for a release period for almost 4 years, arguing that a detainee should be released after 90 days if they are not removed. This historic case would not be possible for the courage and resilience of the detainees who are participating in this challenge, who continue to resist anti-Black racism and struggle to live in dignity and freedom. And in our last bit of news for today, the Journal de Québec reported last week that suicides in provincial prisons are on the rise. According to a Freedom of Information Act request, the newspaper learned that 14 prisoners and 2 correctional officers took their own lives in recent years since 2013. At least 49 suicide attempts took place. And when questioned regarding suicides in prisons, a spokesperson for the Ministry of Public Safety admitted that even if detention is under the most optimal conditions, risk of suicide is likely to remain higher among incarcerated people than in the general population. So those are your headlines here this week on the Prison Radio Show. The time is currently 5:13. This is QUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable. Maybe you're listening online at QUT.ca. Jeannette Pilote has been fighting for years against Hydro-Québec, denouncing the energy company as a colonialist accomplice. Despite the forces that try to silence her, she continues her fight in affirming that the entire system must fall in order to rebuild anew. Jeannette Pilote spoke at UQAM last month on a panel about warrior women and land defense. In this short excerpt, Jeannette Pilote briefly discusses her incarceration following a blockade against Hydro-Québec in Manutenam in 2014. So in 2014, 7 women formed a blockade against the damming of the Romaine River by Hydro-Québec. 2 women pled not guilty to the charges and won. Jeannette Pilote, on the other hand, spent her time in jail. And while in jail, she was on hunger strike, one of 2 hunger strikes she carried out in defense of her people. So this 10-minute presentation is in French.
Bonjour. Il y a une chante qui avait redonné. Je dis, je ne sais pas le stade où est-ce qu'il y a une chante qui a été chante. Je dis, non, je ne sais pas le stade où est-ce qu'il y a une chante. Je dis, non, je ne sais pas le stade où est-ce qu'il y a une chante. Bonjour, je remercie nos ancêtres, mon grand-mère, grand-père. De me donner l'occasion d'être ici parmi vous, de parler de mon combat, de notre combat toutes les femmes, de la lutte qu'on mène depuis des années. Moi, je m'appelle Jeannette Pilote. Je suis de la nation Innu. J'ai 52 ans, j'ai 4 enfants, je suis grand-mère de 8 petits enfants. Je lutte depuis tout jeune âge. Pour parler de moi, de ma lutte, j'ai vécu du racisme. Par chez nous, il y avait beaucoup de racisme. À l'âge de 8 ans, 9 ans, j'ai compris c'était quoi les races. J'avais regardé souvent des films à Contakité Je sais pas s'il y a des personnes qui s'en rappellent, mais j'étais vraiment là-dessus dans, quand je regardais, c'était voir toutes les ancêtres. C'est par là que j'ai compris la race. C'était quoi la race? Ma race autochtone et nous. Puis après, j'ai grandi, j'ai vu mon frère. J'avais un frère qui militait beaucoup avec des Inuits de chez Hatchit. Ils militaient le vol à altitude des avions. J'étais jeune, je les écoutais parler politiquement. Puis à force de grandir avec eux autres, je commençais à militer. À cette île, il y avait tellement de racisme que les non-autochtones et les autochtones se chamoyaient, se chicanaient souvent. Donc, j'ai défendu beaucoup mon peuple. J'ai fait souvent de la prison pour défendre mon peuple. À un moment donné, les années 90 commençaient pour des vraies luttes pour nos droits et territoriaux. Il y avait une marche de Manutenam à Montréal. Nous avons fait une marche pour démontrer qu'on était contre les barrages. Le gouvernement voulait, et il l'a fait, le SM3. Nous étions plusieurs, il y avait des aînés, des enfants, des Américains qui sont venus nous soutenir. Il y avait aussi mon ex-belle-sœur, puis des petits enfants. Donc on a lutté un bon bout, mais après ça, la barricade a été démantelée. Il y en a qui ont fait de la prison, comme j'en ai fait encore de la prison. Par la suite, j'ai tombé beaucoup dans la drogue. Je me suis droguée, suicidaire. J'avais pas vu le cheminement qu'il fallait que je suive. Tellement que je regardais mon peuple en train de mourir, tous les pensionnats qu'on avait passés, tous les abus qu'il y a eu par chez nous, dans tous les autochtones, je pense même, chez les allochtones. Ça me faisait triste. Donc, je me suis gelée, je me suis droguée. Puis, à un moment donné, je me suis décidée de me prendre en main. Ça va faire 10 ans. J'ai continué ma lutte, à lutter. J'ai recommencé à faire ma lutte. J'ai lutté contre la drogue de notre communauté avec mon frère. Mon frère, il y a eu un enfant qui a eu des problèmes de drogue. Fait que mon petit-neveu, il a eu des maladies, schizophrénie, à cause de la drogue. J'ai lutté avec mon frère. Donc, c'est par là que j'ai recommencé à lutter de tout. À un moment donné, on était rendu à des miniers. Des miniers qui s'installaient pas mal chez nous, sans notre consentement. Les femmes commençaient à se lever. Un autre mal. En 2012, je pense, de Manutenam à Montréal. Puis la lutte, ça n'a jamais été arrêté. Puis on a continué. Moi, j'avais décidé en 2014 de lutter contre Hydro-Québec. Durant 2 ans, je n'ai pas fait de paiement. Payer mes comptes avec Hydro. Nous avons déjà fait auparavant des blocus en Manutenam sur la route 138 pour contester le travaux des pylônes à Hydro-Québec. Le conseil négociait en cachette avec Hydro. Donc nous autres, nous avons fait des démarches, nous avons lutté, fait des barricades, des blocus. Par 4 fois, les femmes ont tout essayé, nous avons été emprisonnées. Mais une fois qu'on avait fini les 4 blocus de lutte, j'ai décidé de lutter par moi-même. Je n'ai pas payé Hydro durant 2 ans. L'année passée, ils m'ont débranché, puis je devais un bon montant. Mais ils m'ont rebranché parce que j'avais donné 2 solutions. Ils m'ont rebranché, ça donnait un compte. Et j'étais emprisonnée 3 jours. Par la suite, ils m'ont encore débranché en octobre. Celle-là, c'est le conseil de banque qui a donné l'autorisation à Hydro et le SPUM de la police de notre communauté de rentrer avec Hydro. Donc, c'est là que j'ai été emprisonnée pour un mois. J'ai fait l'emprisonnement. Je lutte toujours. Hydro, après mon emprisonnement, il m'a demandé de... qu'il voulait faire affaire avec moi pour me rebrancher l'électricité. Moi, j'ai dit non, je ne veux plus avoir affaire à toi. C'est fini. Je ne veux plus sortir de ma maison. En ce moment, j'ai une maison, pas d'hydro. Mais je reste pas là. Je nomade, je nomade un peu partout, je m'en vais voir mes enfants. J'attends des panneaux solaires. Je veux commencer que la communauté sache c'est quoi les panneaux solaires, partir vers une technologie saine. C'est moins polluant pour la pollution, moins. C'est vraiment un exemple pour les prochaines générations. On lutte encore en ce moment parce que le conseil de banque, c'est un système qui est rattaché, qui est relié au gouvernement. C'est pas un système pour nous. Parce que je dis ça, il y a tellement de corruption dans notre conseil de banque, et je pense partout, dans les conseils de banque, c'est de même. Donc, dernièrement, on a parlé de travailler ensemble. Je ne sais pas si quelques-uns d'entre vous savent le problème, qu'est-ce qui se passe par chez nous, c'est-il maintenant. Nous avons un chef qui a eu des accusations. Je suis moi-même une femme victime d'abus sexuels et femme autochtone disparue, tuée. Okay, je combats contre le chef. Maintenant, il y a eu sa deuxième plainte il y a 4 jours.
Okay, you are listening to the Prison Radio Show here on CQUT 90.3 FM. That was part of an excerpt from Jeannette Pilote's presentation at UCAM, which took place in early April. It was a panel discussion organized by the Solidarity Collective with Columbia. And it was a panel on warrior women defending the land. She was incarcerated several times for standing up to resource extraction. And so next here on the show, we are going to bring you a piece that was originally aired on Kingston's Prison Radio. The piece is an interview with an herbalist about how folks inside can use what's available in the canteen to treat common ailments. First, we are going to hear a short excerpt of a song. This is called The Prisoner here on CQUT.
Where the past was. Today I want to share my knowledge and experience with you folks in your communities who experience criminalization and state repression and imprisonment. So I've had some loved ones inside too, and I want there to be more resources available for folks to support their own health under such adverse conditions. And ultimately, I'm also against prisons in their entirety, and I support community-led resilience and healing.
Could you start with sort of defining what is herbal medicine and how does it differ from Western medicine?
So herbalism is like a worldview. It's a whole system of healing. It's based on the idea that our bodies have the innate ability to heal, that our body systems, our mind, and our spirit are all interconnected, and our well-being is tied with our relationship to the land. So herbal medicine is also the idea that plants can help our bodies come into more balance. So when you look at Western medicine, most of the, you know, sort of Western medicine cures or treatments are based on covering up symptoms, and they're not usually addressing the root cause or imbalance of a disease. So whole plants have been used since the beginning of humankind for healing, and so that's what I want to pass along. It's just a little bit of that age-old wisdom for all of you today. And ultimately, I want to give folks more choices for the ways that you can have a greater health and well-being. So this doesn't replace Western medicine, right? It can be complementary to it as well.
So, you know, in order to gather information and plan this show, we collaborated on sending out a questionnaire to our contacts in prison, as well as on the Prison Talk forum and other sort of channels that serve as intermediaries between the friends and family of people in prison and prisoners. So we did get some response from that. Do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. We got a few responses, and it was really great. I really appreciate all those responses that we got. It really, really helped a lot to give me a sense of what was the most useful stuff that I could cover. So you know, one thing that we found was that there was somewhat of a, you know, discrepancy of like differences of what people have access to in terms of different plants and foods in the canteen or kitchen that they may have access to. But actually all the responses that we got back indicated that folks would have some access to garden space in federal prison, and also a lot of the health conditions were similar. So today what we're going to cover is herbs and some helpful strategies for digestive health, lung and respiratory health, blood pressure, diabetes, and mental health. And then at the end, I'm going to go over some ideas and helpful tips for if you have access to a garden. This information is definitely can be useful for all people, but I am going to focus on remedies that is more likely for people locked up in federal prisons to have access to. So as a disclaimer, the following information is for educational purposes only. It's not recommended to diagnose or cure any diseases. And I know getting attention for health issues in prison can be extremely difficult, but this can't really be a replacement for medical attention if you need it. All right, so we're going to start by not actually really talking about plants so much. We're going to talk a little bit about mental health. One of the main health issues for folks in prison is mental health issues, and it's really tricky to find plants that you would have access to in jail to help with mental health imbalances. Our mental health is so complex and so related to our mind and related to our interactions with our environment, and it's also really related to exposure to stress. So rather than talking about plants for mental health, I'm going to talk about other strategies that folks can use in prison to help their mental health. There are lots of plants that we use for mental health, but I don't think that they would be super useful or easily accessible by folks in jail if you're not also doing these other strategies. So when you're in prison, you're faced with an extremely stressful condition, you know, similar to folks I work with who live in extreme poverty, right? It's not an option to just stop exposure to stress. So what we want to be looking at is how to make small steps to shift the perception to our situation. Stress has the ability to cause many health issues, including heart disease, cancer, mental health imbalances like depression and anxiety, diabetes, digestive issues, and more. And some of the most important stress reduction is going to come from like a daily practice to help relaxation. So one of the reasons that we get really stressed out is because our body gets kind of stuck in like fight or flight mode, right? Like that stressed out survival mode. And so one of the goals that we have in reducing stress is to try and remind our bodies how to be in rest and relax mode, right? So that's like when you feel relaxed, when you're sleeping, you know. So we're going to go through some strategies to help with that. And so these are things to look into and try out if, you know, stress, depression, anxiety, PTSD, or another mental illness is something that you deal with. So one of the first ones is meditation. You know, you don't need anything for it. You just need yourself. You can try to find some instruction or books to help guide you. You know, meditation can look like a lot of different things. It can be as simple as sitting still and connecting with your breath, letting go of your preoccupations, just seeing what comes up, helping you become more aware of your body, of your mind, trying to learn how to be more gentle towards yourself. So you could do meditation, you know, each day if you'd like, and it helps to reduce stress, body pain, depression, and anxiety. And sleep is also like incredibly, incredibly important in terms of relating to our perception of stress. So oftentimes when we don't sleep well, we have a higher perception of stress. Like smaller things feel like a bigger deal, right? Whereas when we have good sleeps, we can usually deal with stuff a little easier. And another thing with sleep is that we actually process a lot of our stress from the day. Like a lot of the you know, the stuff that happened, or our mental processes and during our sleep actually help us to sort of resolve conflict, things like that. You know, so trying to aim for like 8 hours of sleep a night is a good good ballpark to try and reduce stress. So physical activity can be really important for mental health too, and it depends on the person, like what that looks like. For one person, it might mean, you know, doing really rigorous cardio exercise. Well, for another person, it might mean doing like a lot of stretching and yoga or walking, right? It's, there isn't a, you know, magic, this works for everyone kind of solution. But it is important for everyone to get some amount of regular physical exercise. And make sure you do lots of stretching and deep breathing and drink lots of water and also rest when you need to. And so one thing that came up in one of the responses was, you know, really addressing that part of what makes being in prison so extremely difficult is being separated from loved ones, and specifically not having any kind of touch or intimacy. And so finding some ways to have intimacy and touch can be really, really important. And it could be having touch visits from loved ones, but it also can be platonic, and it can be shared by prisoners too. One example that was given was prisoners giving each other haircuts, that actually in itself, just even that much touch, like having someone touch your head, actually was profoundly relaxing and helped to connect people to each other. And so that helps to break the isolation and increase the parts of our brain that experience relaxation and experience reward and pleasure. So another thing is, if you have access to be able to get outside, then there's the opportunity to connect with whatever nature there is there, whether it's the grass or a tree or the moon, right? But these are all things that people have been using to have some kind of even very, you know, just a really basic spiritual connection to the earth. We've been doing it forever. So you could lie on the grass and imagine the earth's healing strength filling your body. You can watch plants grow day by day and listen to the birds. And, you know, seeing and appreciating this kind of simple beauty in nature can really go a long way to help us relax. A lot of people find that even just spending, you know, 10 or 20 minutes each day just like listening to the trees and the birds and, you know, feeling the grass and the wind can be really uplifting to depression, and it can calm agitation, and it can really help to reduce the feelings of isolation. So we're going to go a little bit into the digestive system here, and the reason for that is because, you know, digestive issues was something that came up in these responses that I got, like, oh, yeah, okay, digestive issues are a real problem in prisons, right? And, you know, that's not a surprise to me, given that our digestion is actually very, very intimately tied with our mental health. And so the reason for that is that when we're stressed out, like when we're in fight or flight mode, our digestion actually shuts off because you're in survival mode, right? You need to run fast. You don't need to digest your food at that moment, right? So long-term stress can be really directly tied to all kinds of digestive issues. And when your digestion isn't working well, like if you're, you know, eating not great food or eating something you're allergic to, or if you have digestive inflammation, it also sends a message directly to your brain that you should be stressed out, right? Like to have fear and anxiety. So this is a vicious cycle. If you're stressed out, your digestion stops working. If your digestion isn't working well, it causes you to have stress. So I find that often if there's ever sort of a mental health imbalance going on that is accompanied by digestive issue, I always want to address that because it can help your mental health too. And so digestive issues can be everything from, you know, spasm and gas pain or nausea and appetite issues, acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation or diarrhea. So anything related to how your food gets digested. A really, really great, simple remedy for digestion is ginger root. So ginger is really, really soothing for nausea. You know, in herbal medicine, it's actually used for nausea from, you know, opiate or cancer treatment. It helps to stimulate regular appetite, and it helps to soothe the muscles and the digestive system. And so ginger, being a nice sort of spicy plant, it also actually helps to improve circulation. So it's good for people who have, you know, really cold hands and feet or tend to be really cold all the time. And it also reduces inflammation in the body. So because it is spicy, it does sometimes irritate acid reflux. So keep that in mind. So to make ginger tea with fresh ginger root, you would cut up about, you know, a half inch chunk per cup of water. So if you have like a hot plate or access to a kitchen, you can actually like put it in a pot and let it simmer on the stove for a few minutes, then strain it out and drink the tea. Even just a few sips can help for nausea. So you can try like just having a few sips frequently, or, you know, maybe a cup or two a day. If you don't have a stove, you can break up ginger into small pieces and just pour boiling water over it and just let it sit for about 30 minutes or longer. The taste will get stronger the longer you let it sit. So just be careful not to make it too strong. It can be a bit irritating if it's too spicy. And, you know, super basic, you can also just chew on ginger root. It's pretty spicy, so keep that in mind, you know. But definitely the root is there, and you can just eat little tiny pieces of it too, especially for nausea. Another great digestive remedy is rosemary. And, you know, rosemary you might find in the kitchen, like in the spice rack, right? It's used in cooking a lot. Or it might also be found in the garden because it's a very common culinary herb. So it's a really, really great remedy for gas and spasm, for soothing any kind of digestive issue from stress or anxiety. It also is an interesting sort of remedy for the head. Like a rosemary helps to relieve headaches, and it can help a little bit with energy and brain function as well. And actually, you know, a lot of our sort of aromatic culinary, like our savory herbs, like rosemary, thyme, marjoram, oregano, basil, these are all potentially useful digestive remedies for like the gas and the spasm. So part of the action that's happening from the herbs is actually like those aromatics, like those volatile oils, we call them, like what makes it taste good is also what's helping our digestion. So if you're using dried leaves, then you would make a tea with about a teaspoon of the herb per cup of boiled water, and you would just put the herb into the hot water and just let it sit. You want to cover it because it helps make it stronger if you keep it covered, if you put a little plate or something over it. If you have access to the fresh herbs from the garden, you know, you would probably pick like a small handful of the fresh herb and then cover that with the hot water. So another really great remedy for digestion is chamomile. And I didn't get any specifically like totally yes for sure that anyone has access to chamomile tea in jail, but it was implied that there was at least one prison that returned the survey that you can get chamomile tea at the canteen. So if it's available at the canteen, I wanted to just shout out to chamomile because it does a ton of super useful things. It's really helpful for soothing irritation and inflammation in the digestive system. It's very healing, like it's used for things like stomach ulcers even. And it also really helps to relax the mind. It's a bit antidepressant, helps with sleep. So chamomile could be a great ally if you have access to it there. Another thing with digestion is you want to really keep in mind the food you're eating. So if you find you're having a lot of really chronic digestive issues, like the gas and the bloating, or, you know, irregular bowel movements or something like that, or pain, then you might try cutting out some foods if you can. So one of them is like gluten, right? Bread, pasta, baked goods, that can be a big irritant. So trying to reduce that And then some people also have an allergy to milk products, like, you know, milk, cheese, all that dairy. So that's another thing to just think about. You know, obviously when you're in jail, you don't have a lot of options for food and you got to eat what's there. So really it depends on your situation, whether or not you have the option to eat different things. Stomach ulcers came up as something that some folks have had issues with in prison. So one thing to think about with stomach ulcers is that you really want to be careful with making sure that they're not bleeding. So if your stomach ulcers are bleeding, that can be pretty dangerous. You can lose a lot of blood that way, actually. And the way that you can find out if your ulcers are bleeding is you would have, like, black coffee ground-like substance in your stool. So that's, like, a red flag to make sure that you try and get checked out. Some of the federal prisons in Canada, especially the lower, like, minimum security ones, you can actually buy groceries and, like, cook for yourself. So if you do have that ability to, like, have that choice with what you're eating, then, you know, you can really try and focus on having, like, a whole food diet, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, right, rather than the white bread and stuff. And then you want to have good proteins like, you know, fish, chicken, eggs, some beans and lentils as well. And so when you're choosing vegetables, you can try and choose a bunch of different colors, because then that sort of just shows that you're getting a lot of different nutrients. And one response I got for the show actually suggests signing up for the vegetarian diet, because the food is often a lot fresher and has a lot more vegetables in it. And so my understanding is that if you put yourself on the list for the vegetarian diet, that you can still sometimes choose to eat the meat option. So you're not, like, you know, actually pledging to be vegetarian all the time. But eating vegetables is really important, so that could be a good option if you find you need more nutrients in your food. And, you know, one thing is that when we eat our food, it's a way for us to relax and to ground in our bodies. So it's important to take the time to chew your food well, take deep breaths. And, you know, if you eat your food really fast and, you know, swallow food that isn't chewed properly, then that can actually cause some of the digestive upset. So just keep that in mind and try and be mindful of how you're eating. Okay, so the next system that we'll talk about a little bit is the respiratory system. So we're going to talk about, like, lung support and some remedies for common colds and flus. And, you know, the common cold or flu, like, generally is what we would call self-limiting. So if you don't take anything, it's probably going to go away, right? Whereas some people have really chronic lung issues. So, you know, those are different things, but we're going to look at some plants that can be used for both. And so with any respiratory issue, you want to, like, look at the symptoms present, or when you're sick with a cold or flu, like, it's really important to pay attention to, you know, whether or not the person has a fever, whether or not they have a lot of, you know, mucus discharge, that kind of thing. So really pay attention to the differences in the ways that I describe these plants, because they're used a bit differently. So if you have an infection, like a cold or a flu, or a, you know, a stubborn cough, it's important to try and stop eating sugar and try and limit smoking, because both sugar and tobacco actually suppress the immune system and increase inflammation. So it's something to keep in mind. So one really soothing food, specifically for kind of head colds, but also for some coughs, is lemon. If you have access to fresh lemons, it can help as a decongestant for the sinuses, and it also helps to fight infection. So the way that you would do this is you just, like, you know, take a little piece of lemon, like a, you know, a quarter lemon or something like that, and you squeeze it into hot water. And you would do this, you know, 3 or 4 times a day, for a severe head cold. And it's really important for the water to be hot, because the water is like a carrier for the lemon, like volatile oils that actually kind of go up with the steam. So you want to be, like, breathing in the steam without burning yourself. But actually inhaling the steam helps to bring the parts of the plant that are, like, fighting the infection. They can actually go right up into your sinuses and lungs and help to fight the infection directly like that. And lemon is really great combined with ginger too. So you can, you know, make your ginger tea, squeeze some lemon in it. It's a great remedy for a head cold or a cough. So a really great immune stimulant that you might have access to is fresh garlic. So you don't want to use it if you're on blood thinner medications, because it itself is a blood thinner and you don't want to risk hemorrhage. But it's really great if you're first coming down with a cold or flu. It helps to boost the immune system. It's also very antibacterial, and you can use it like on your skin for skin infections, like, you know, even like athlete's foot or staph or things like that. So keep that in mind. You don't want to use it on open wounds. It burns. So the way that you would use it is you can chew like 2 or 3 cloves of fresh garlic per day if you're just sort of on the verge of getting sick. And you can mix it with food or honey just because it's so strong and spicy and some people hate the taste. And you don't want to take it on an empty stomach. And actually, it can actually be like irritating and kind of burning to your stomach. And you don't really want to take it necessarily if someone has like a really high fever and they're like full on sick, because it's actually, because it's so spicy and warming, it can actually kind of irritate it. So you'd rather, you know, try something like lemon or, you know, or just some cold water even. And so you don't really get the same like immune stimulating or anti-infection actions if it's cooked, so you want to make sure that you're using it raw. So another great lung support herb that you might have access to is thyme. Thyme is an aromatic culinary herb, and it's found in a lot of, you know, kitchens for cooking, and it's found in a lot of gardens as well. It's a powerful, like, antibacterial and antiviral, so it helps to fight all kinds of infections. It's pretty specific for supporting the lungs. What it does is it helps to get like stuff out of the lungs. So it's what we call an expectorant, where it helps to, you know, increase mucus coming up and out. Like when you cough, it increases like what we would call the productivity of your cough. So it makes you actually be able to get stuff out. So it's really good for like a stubborn cough or like lung congestion, even over the long term, you know. And it's also a good decongestant for the sinuses. So for that runny head cold, thyme can be a good one to help to reduce the waterfall. So if you're using dry thyme leaves, like from the kitchen, then you can make a tea with like probably a half a teaspoon of the herb per cup of hot water. And with fresh thyme, you would want to use like about, you know, just sort of a small handful of sprigs per cup of boiled water. And so you want to let it sit for about 15 minutes and again, cover it while it's sitting in the hot water, because that keeps in all of those nice volatile oils. The oils that make it smell good are, they sort of will just escape with the steam if you don't cover at the top. So another thing you can use in colds and flus is ginger again. Especially like mixed with lemon, it's really good, you know, when you're just sort of coming down with a cold. Ginger and lemon is great. And it sometimes helps us to mount a little bit of a fever when we're not, you know, like sometimes you just have this cold that just never goes away. If you drink a cup of hot ginger tea, it might help your body like warm up enough to like help fight off the infection. So that's it for the respiratory system. I'm going to talk a bit about blood pressure. Again, like we're not going to talk a lot about plants here, but I just wanted to give some helpful strategies for reducing blood pressure. So when you have high blood pressure, it increases the risk of like stroke and heart attack. The main thing that you can do to help lower your blood pressure is getting daily exercise. If you're at risk for a stroke, but they don't have you on blood thinner medication, then you can eat garlic daily. It's really great for reducing inflammation in the cardiovascular system and thinning the blood, which reduces the chances of stroke. So you would just eat a few cloves per day. Calming activities like meditation can also help a lot if your blood pressure is stress-related, which a lot of people are. And if you have access to berries, like especially blueberries, those are really anti-inflammatory to the blood vessels and can help over the long term reduce the damage. So if you have an option to have some blueberries, take them. Okay, so one of the really, really common health issues in our whole society, including folks in prison, is diabetes. And diabetes is a very complex, long-term disease. It's really connected with lifestyle factors like diet, exercise, and stress. So there's two types. There's type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Folks with type 1 diabetes are usually born with it, and it's when the person's pancreas doesn't make any insulin. Insulin is what our cells use to, like, take up glucose into the cell to make energy. So think of insulin as, like, the kind of, like, the key to get glucose into the cell.
And that was part of an excerpt from an interview with M, who was speaking about using items that might be available in a canteen to herbally treat common ailments, and that originally aired on Kingston's Prison Radio Show. You have been listening to the Prison Radio Show here on CQT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, or CQT.ca. You can check out past episodes of the Prison Radio Show at prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Prison Radio Show. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CQT. We're on the air on the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. So the next show will air Friday, May 26th at 11 a.m. If you have any questions about anything that you've heard on today's show, you can contact us, prison@cqt.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. You can leave a message on our listener comment line at 514-448-4041, extension 2547. Our mailing address is the Prison Radio Show, care of CQUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, H3A2B3. Thank you for tuning in to the Prison Radio Show on CQUT. My name is Candace, and I've been your host for today. Please stay tuned.
Le Salon des Livres Anarchistes de Montréal.
The Montreal Anarchist Book Fair. 2 days, Saturday, May 27th and Sunday, May 28th at CETA and the Centre Culturel Georges Vanier. For info, anarchistbookfair.ca.
Des participants venant de partout au Québec, en Amérique du Nord, des librairies, éditeurs, ateliers, films, discussions, activités pour enfants, expositions d'art et plus. Gratuit, bienvenue à tous et toutes, pour les anarchistes et pour les personnes curieuses de l'anarchisme. Pour info, salonanarchiste.ca.
Participants from all over Quebec and North America, booksellers and vendors, workshops, films, discussions, kids' activities, art exhibits, and more. Free, welcome to all. For anarchists and people curious about anarchism. Check out anarchistbookfair.ca for more details.
No gods, no masters, no bosses, no borders.
This is a CKUT co-presentation.
On Monday, May 15th, tune in for Radio Free Palestine, a 12-hour broadcast on 6 decades of displacement. Join us as we reflect on the 69th anniversary of the Nakba, or the Palestinian catastrophe. We will bring you the voices of those who will never forget, from Palestinians in the occupied territories to 1948 Palestine and around the world. From 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Radio Free Palestine will amplify the voices of those whose will is to resist and whose wish is to return. This broadcast is hosted by CKT 90.3 FM in Montreal, Canada, with participation by tens of stations around the world. Check out www.ckut.ca for more information on this international broadcast. Stay tuned to Radio Free Palestine on May 15th, and remember.